Today on Real Radio.
If you're an evolutionist, if you're an atheist, first of all, the Bible teaches that homosexuality is destructive and it is sin. It's a choice, by the way, and there's not one scientist in the world that will say it's genetic, so you might as well give that argument up. That fell a long time ago.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are free. Praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Ruth. We've been looking at the final chapter of this four-chapter account of how Ruth and Boaz meet and fall in love and are eventually wed. Today's study focuses on the last 10 verses in a study called Together at Last. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went in unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a near kinsman or a redeemer. And may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighboring women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. This morning we're going to get into some genealogies if you haven't caught on. And the temptation for most Christians is to say, "Genealogies, wake me up when it's over." But you better not do that this morning. This is the most important genealogy given in all of the Bible. You might say, "Oh, no, no, no. What about John chapter 1, the greatest genealogy of all?" Listen, John chapter 1 and its genealogy in verse 1 would not be possible without the genealogy that's before us in chapter 4. We're going to see how incredibly important it is to not only the biblical record of who the Messiah is, but to our own salvation. How sure can we be that our sins have been forgiven? How sure can we be that God really loves us and God really wants us to know Him personally? Is God some kind of abstract and lonely remote being? Or has God made Himself knowable? Do we take the approach of an agnostic, which is the root word of ignoramus, by the way? Did you know that? An agnostic? One who thinks that God is possibly there, but He can't be known? What a tragic thought to have. That maybe there is a God, but maybe we can't know Him. No, listen, through the book of Ruth, and specifically through the closing verses of this chapter, God's whole point is to not only get us to know Him more, but to show us, really through some pretty scientific means, that He is in fact God, our Redeemer, our Lord and Savior. Now, I've got to tell you up front, I am going to be having to race against the clock. It is not fair this morning that we have other services today to contend with. I will go as fast as I can, and you might say, "Can you slow down?" The answer to that's no, I can't. I want you to get your ready writer pen ready and be moving. We're going to follow some really neat, exciting scriptures, and I think we're going to see some really neat truths. So in your note-taking, you can put down this title, "Together at Last, Forever." "Together at Last, Forever." Or subtitle, "Baby Ruth," with an exclamation point on the end. Together at last, forever. God has brought Boaz and Ruth together, and it's not only for their lifetime, but God has brought them together as brother and sister in Christ. And they will be together forever. And in fact, we will meet. Are you ready for this? We will meet Boaz. We will meet Ruth. Can you imagine? We're going to meet her, according to the Bible. We're going to meet Noah. I can't wait to meet Elijah. I think my favorite, though, is going to be David. I can't wait to meet David. What a radical guy. Love him. And then Peter's always going to be fun. We're going to be hanging out with Peter a lot because he's just so much like us. He had foot and mouth disease. And we often do that in our own lives, don't we? Peter would open up his mouth and put something in there, like his foot, because he didn't know what else to say, says the Bible. But we're going to be meeting these people together at last forever, no doubt about it. First thing in your note-taking is jot down verse 13. The first point is blessings that redemption brings. The whole story, the whole book's about redemption. And what are some of the blessings that being redeemed brings? Some of you have been Christians for a long time, and you can say, well, you know, where do I begin? Where do I begin to count the blessings that God has engineered in my life? I pray that for all of us, none of us become so callous to say, well, you know what? I can't think of any blessings that are in my life. Oh, I hope we never come to that point. There's nothing worse than a child that does not appreciate all that that child has around it. It's a very disheartening thing when a child doesn't any longer care about the blessings that it has. God has blessed us. So the first point, verse 13, the blessings that redemption brings. It says here, so Boaz took Ruth. The word took here, don't think that Boaz said, all right, I got the deal signed. I got that man's shoe in my hand. Remember last week? All right, where is she? Grabs a club, goes and hits her on the head and drags her back to the cave. No, that's not what the word took means. The word took means that he gave himself to her. The word means that he seized her, but in seizing her, he gave himself to her. It's exactly what happened with Rebekah and Isaac. Remember when Isaac, he was sitting in the field, and Eleazar was commanded by Abraham to go find his son a bride. Can you imagine having that job? Go find my son a wife. What does it pay? That's a pretty scary thing. God opens the door, blesses him greatly, and Eleazar comes back with a bride for Isaac. Her name is Rebekah. And when Isaac sees Rebekah, he goes running to her. They've never met before in all their lives. Isn't that something? And she jumps off the camel, and it says that he took her, and she became his wife. He took her back to his mom's house, and she became his wife. Well, doesn't that kind of sound kind of soap opera-ish? Hey, be my wife. Let's go to bed. It's kind of what it sounds like. Well, that's not what happens here. When Boaz took Ruth, that is, on their way to Maui or wherever they were going, he would have been saying to her vows. He would have been giving her vows. He would have been making her promises. He would have been saying to her, you know what? This is what I'm going to be to you. This is what I'm going to do. This is how the Lord's leading me in this relationship. And I'm just going to give my life for you and bless you and see to it that you're taken care of. And he would have given vows. And by the way, there is no understanding that we get out of Scripture that the woman recites vows back. What promises has Jesus Christ given you? Everything, hasn't he? What promises are we commanded to give Christ? None. We can't keep a promise. Have you caught on? Oh, Jesus, I promise to be so good this week. I promise I won't goof up like last week. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Try, and you should try, and you and I should try with all of our hearts. We should try. But don't make God any promises. You're just setting yourself up. Blessings that redemption brings. It says that he took her. So first of all, there's an intimate relationship established. You can jot that down. That's what redemption brings. First of all, an intimate relationship. God created this. So he took her and she became his wife. Redemption means relationship. Relationship leads to fellowship. In Genesis 2:18, the Bible says, the Lord said, it is not good that man, that is Adam, be alone. So God made Adam a helpmate, and her name was Eve. In Genesis 3:20, it says that she became the mother of all living. Adam took Eve to be wife, and through intimate fellowship, no doubt of communication, no doubt of enjoying each other, also being physical with each other, there was the product of what? Life. Listen, it doesn't take an Albert Einstein to figure out that if you take an atom and if you take an Eve and you plug them two together, you get a little Adam and a little Eve. Anybody have a problem with that? If you do, you're a contradiction in yourself because you're a byproduct of intimate fellowship. We are not here. We didn't show up here from some space transport. Somebody somewhere at some time called Mom and Dad got together. Now, hopefully, and most wonderfully, our God, of course, created marriage and the sexual union. But listen to this. The byproduct of marriage and sexual union is a life or lives, but it is also, and I think more importantly, the fruit of spirit, the fruit of spirit fellowship, the fruit of spirit union, of fellowshipping with God. There's love brought together, like with Boaz and Ruth. And the byproduct is going to be a little Obed. And great things will come from his life. But isn't that just like Christ calling you, calling myself, come and fellowship with me? He would often lead the disciples up to an intimate, quiet place away from the people for what? For fellowship and for teaching and for communication, for getting along. So one of the blessings that redemption brings is intimate fellowship. And I want to ask you, do you have that with God this morning? Do you have a Boaz and Ruth relationship with God in your life? It's not some pie-in-the-sky dream. It is, in fact, a reality for many of us. I hope all of us. But do you know God this way? In the Bible, as I said, God brought Eve unto Adam. And she became Adam's wife and the mother of the living, and that is eventually us. And it doesn't take an Einstein, as I said, to figure this out. It doesn't say in your Bible in Genesis 3:20, and Adam called his wife Steve. It's not Steve, it's Eve. It's not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve. You might say, well, I can't believe you're even saying that. Well, it's time it said more, okay? If you're an evolutionist, if you're an atheist, first of all, the Bible teaches that homosexuality is destructive and it is sin. It's a choice, by the way, and there's not one scientist in the world that will say it's genetic, so you might as well give that argument up. That fell a long time ago. Listen, it's a choice, just like I choose to lie, I choose to rob a bank, I choose to, you know, whatever. It's a sin of choice, says the Bible. But listen, if you're an evolutionist or an atheist, you're on our side regarding this issue. You, well, I don't think so. Oh, yeah, you are. Because if Adam and Steve got together physically, what would happen? Would you be here today? Not a chance. There would be Adam and Steve, and Adam and Steve would have been dead and gone. God has created intimate fellowship between, listen, I'm driving a point home, not on this particular issue. I want to drive this point home. God has created a man and a woman to have wonderful fellowship together. And the natural outgrowth of that is life. It all leads to that eventually. That's why it's very difficult to package up little Johnny when he's 15 years old and send him out on a date. And you say, now, Johnny, you look really great and you smell so good. And boy, you know, here's some extra money. And, you know, have a good time. But whatever you do, don't touch her. Okay, Dad, gotcha. Over and out. Well, across town, there's Mom and Dad saying, okay, Susie, you look really great. Okay, now go on out there, and there they go. And listen, I got news for you. Susie's thinking, this is my first Cinderella ride. This is wonderful. This is so exciting. And little Johnny starts out saying, this is going to be great. Boy, I'm excited. And, well, first of all, why are they even going out together? Well, they're starting to think thoughts. They're starting to experience hormonal differences and changes. And both of them like those changes that are taking place. Not only themselves, but in one another. That's why they're going out. But can you imagine? They're all dressed up and you turn them loose and they're 15. They've got the hormones of a rhinoceros. And you're saying, now, don't touch one another. Listen, King David couldn't handle himself in that condition. And neither did you. Now, go have a great time. Listen, the Bible says it's not good for a man to touch a woman outside of marriage. Why? It leads to things. It naturally leads to things. It's the way we've been designed. On, off. Two switches. Well, at least I'm speaking for us guys. Little, you're sitting Johnny up. He can't handle it. What am I thinking? What are these pictures I have in my mind? Why does she smell so good? Listen, there's a difficulty here. But God has blessed intimate union and fellowship in the confines of love and marriage. That's the way God's ordained it. Very important, intimate fellowship. Listen, the next thing that we see regarding verse 13 and the blessings that redemption brings is that the meeting of two people together fulfills our desires. And I want to be careful about this. Those of you who are single, jot down three important verses. In fact, those of you who are not single, jot down these three important verses. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's a lot. According to the power that works within us. Listen, those of you who are single, don't you be thinking for a moment, golly, I'm 20 years old, I'm over the hill. I better cave in on my requirements that I've laid out before the Lord and opt to marry this ding-dong and settle for number five. Do you think the Bible teaches, God says, well, you know, the Marines have got all the best guys. I guess I've got to give you number five. No, that's not how it works. Listen, young lady, listen, young man, or whoever you might be, maybe you find yourself in middle age, or maybe you find yourself late in life, and you still want to have fellowship and intimacy in marriage. Pray and ask God and expect Him to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, and don't settle for Mr. Knucklehead. You might say, well, gosh, Jack, that's kind of mean. Well, you would only think that if you're the knucklehead. Because God wants the best for your life. Did that one go by you too quick? I've been up for a long time, so I'm warning you right now. Second verse, Philippians 4:19. And my God, Paul says, shall supply all of your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. What is your need? Oh, well, let me tell you. Well, put it in the hands of Christ and let him fulfill it. Can he? Better than you can dream, buddy. Better than you can imagine, young girl. The Lord's at control and he loves you and he wants the best for your life. Third verse, my favorite, this is my life psalm, but this is my life verse, is Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your hearts. What's the prerequisite? Delight yourself in the Lord. And then he'll put in your heart and in your mind his thoughts and desires, and it'll be a natural flow. The third thing in verse 13 is the empowerment to recreate and to bless. It says that the Lord gave her conception and she bore a son. This is rather interesting because I looked really deep into this little phrase here, and this is what is implied in the Hebrew language. Listen to this. You remember, Ruth never had any children before. What's implied is that for whatever reasons, she couldn't conceive before. Was it Mahlon's problem or was it Ruth's problem? Whatever the situation is, that God gave conception. Listen, people, God is the one who gives conception. Well, what if two teenagers get together and there's conception? Listen, that's biological conception based upon God's laws. Did God bless it? No, he's not in that. He's not in that. This is a biological fallout of the physical union. But what does God want? What is God's perfect will? That children eventually come, if that's what the Lord has willed for your life. And God opens and closes the womb, just like Hannah in the Bible. God opens and closes the womb. And so there's this empowerment to bless and recreate. The Lord gave her conception. The second point I want you to see is 9 months later, verse 14, and that is the source of all blessings is to be honored. The source of all blessings is to be honored. 9 months later, we pick up the story there, verse 14. Then the women said to Naomi, not to Ruth, interestingly enough, but to who? Naomi, grandma. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a near kinsman. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. Beautiful pronouncements of blessings. There's confusion, people, with scholars, and they bicker back and forth about who is the author talking about. So you can jot it down, and I'm going to give you a really simple answer. It's going to fix all the problem. the scholars bicker about is the blessing that's being given to Naomi, is it Boaz who's now come into the family? Many of them say it is Boaz because he's got the power to do these things. The other scholars say, no, it's Obed. Well, you know what? You can argue both to be true, and in fact, both are true. Without Boaz, you don't have an Obed. Without Obed, you don't have a kinsman redeemer, ultimately. So you've got to have both to win the game. Are you with me? You've got to have both. And so God is speaking to Naomi blessings she can't even count. Don't you like that? Gee, how do I number them? Is it Boaz or is it Obed? Or what about Ruth? What a sweetie she's been to me. You see? That's the way it ought to be in our lives. We ought to be thinking like that. But they said to her, the women of the city said, the Lord's been good to you. He's not left you. You know, the Lord had never left her. Did Naomi believe that always? No. Remember chapter 1, around verse 19? What was she complaining about? My name is now Mara. Name me bitter. Why? Because the Lord's left me. He's afflicted me. In fact, his hand is heavy on me. That was never, never true. God's hand was never heavy on her. She walked in disobedience with her husband, Elimelech, against the Lord, and they walked out of God's will. And so some rough, and even death came to their lives. She gets back home and she tells her friends, these women, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me, her name is pleasant. Don't call me pleasantness anymore. Call me bitter. Why? Because I'm bitter. That's why. She gets them. Is that you, pleasantness? Hey, don't call me pleasantness. Sorry, we said it. Okay, back off, lady. Gee whiz. But God begins to bless. He had never left her. Genesis 28, verse 15. Listen, I love this. This is about Jacob. And Jacob's on his way, on his journey, and he falls asleep in a place that he's going to name. And it was previously, before Jacob went to sleep, it was called Luz, L-U-Z. Then Jacob wakes up from his dream and renames the place. And I want you to hang on to your seats here. Genesis 28, 15. Bible says, behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. That promise in Genesis 28, Ruth and Naomi and Elimelech and everybody else had in their Bibles, in the five books of the Bible. They had the writings of Moses. She had that promise. I will not leave you, but I will bring you back into the land.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the Old Testament book of Ruth, and the final 10 verses of chapter 4, the last chapter. It's a presentation called Together at Last, the continuation of which we'll hear on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. The Old Testament narrative of Ruth meeting Boaz is truly a beautiful love story, but it's more than that. It's also valuable for many other reasons, which is why it is included in the Old Testament. So we're making available Pastor Jack's series through the Book of Ruth on MP3 CD. Our offer is simple. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send it your way. Just ask for the Book of Ruth on MP3 CD. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio by telephone, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You may also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.